Well, good morning. I wish we had a few more copies of the Westminster Confession of Faith that I could distribute. I'll have to order them. But for now, we'll continue in our study of the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 11, and I'll read the paragraphs to you, paragraphs 2 and 3 about justification, and then I'll discuss them, and then we'll pray. Justification. Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and His righteousness, is the alone instrument, or the only instrument of justification. Yet it is not alone in the person justified, but is ever accompanied with all saving graces, all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but works by love. Christ, by His obedience and death, did fully discharge the debt of all those that are thus justified, and did make a proper, real, and full satisfaction to His Father's justice in their behalf. Yet, inasmuch as He was given by the Father for them, and His obedience and satisfaction accepted in their stead, and both freely, not for anything in them, their justification, that's the justification of Christians, the justification is only of free grace, and that both the exact justice and rich grace of God might be glorified in the justification of sinners. That was a long and complex sentence. Let me try and unpack both of those now. Chapter 11 began with a paragraph announcing the great blessings of justification. It told us what this gift of God is and what it's not. The second section of this chapter goes on to answer the question, how can sinners like me and you ever be justified? And the answer is that we can be justified by receiving and resting on Christ and His righteousness. In a word, we can be justified by faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is simply resting on what Jesus has done. Faith is the abandoning of any attempt to please God on our own with our own goodness and trusting in Christ and His righteousness. Faith is simply believing that Jesus Christ has paid any debt that we owe and has endured any punishment that we deserve. Faith is decidedly not some kind of virtue in us, some important thing that we do, or a little thing in us that God finds worthy. In fact, faith is just giving up on ourselves and trusting God in Jesus Christ. Well, John reminds us in the opening of his gospel that the thing which characterizes the children of God is that they believe on His name. That's Jesus' name. Little wonder that Paul writes once and then again in his letter to the Romans that we are justified by faith. Faith is the only instrument that justifies us, so to speak, because it's the only good way of describing a faith or a trust, rather, placed in Christ and not in ourselves. We're justified by faith alone. And yet at the same time, we should remember that faith is never alone in the person that is justified. Faith is a gift of grace, and it's the sole gift of grace by which we receive justification. But for those that are justified, faith is given plenty of company. This saving grace is accompanied by all other saving graces. Other graces like patience and hope and love are no mere puddings that we can select among a buffet of Christian virtues. They are part of the main course, the essential food group for a well-nourished Christian. In fact, without these Christian graces, there really is no Christian health and life at all. Our understanding of salvation must always seek to be as robust as the Holy Scripture's teaching of salvation. And James makes it abundantly clear that faith must be living. It must never be dead. No, even as we look to faith in Christ and love Him, we also immediately begin to love His people and love His world. As Paul once explained to the Galatians, in Jesus Christ, the only thing that avails anything is faith working by love. Well, even while we discuss justification, the confession is keen to see that we don't lose sight of Jesus Christ. And so the work of Christ is recapped for us here in paragraph 3, which I read earlier. And it's recapped by way of emphasizing that the justification that we have in Christ is both just and it's gracious. You see, all those who are justified are debtors. We owe a debt of obedience to God that like Adam, we have failed to pay. Nor is there any hope of payment. We cannot be cast into a debtor's prison, such as the kind that we find in Jesus' parables or in Dickens' novels, and ever expect to emerge alive. Really, in this case, prison is not even appropriate. It's not an option. Rebellion against the King of Kings deserves the death penalty. Well, what a sad thing that is. What a sad case for men and women and children to be in. As we see the effects of sin in our lives and in the lives of those around us, who can forget that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, including ourselves? We are sinners, and our case would be hopeless. But as Paul delights to explain, there is one who was obedient. One who is not disobedient, and by the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous. You see, although Jesus Christ was treated as the leader of a rebellion, the truth was that Jesus Christ was a leader in righteousness. He obeyed his Father where we did not. And as our representative, he did so on our behalf. The astonishing thing is that God still loved us. And that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are justified by his blood. We are saved from wrath through him. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, because that death was a proper and a real and a full satisfaction of the Father's justice. This is the news that's proclaimed all across the Bible. Whose is the righteousness that Daniel sees in the future that will help God's people? What is the salvation that Isaiah pictures so clearly? Who pays the ransom that Paul mentions to Timothy? Who's in view in the letter to the Hebrews when he speaks when the author speaks of a body that was offered on behalf of sinners? Every Christian knows that the answer to each one of these Christians is found in one person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom our faith must find a resting place. He is the one who is given to us by the Father, delivering him up for us all, so that he could freely give us all things, including justification, the forgiveness of our sins, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's his obedience and satisfaction on the cross that is accepted in our stead. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's only one in whom the Father was pleased, and he loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Sometimes this is so wonderful, I confess, that it makes me cry. This week I started to laugh. I think a variety of the astonished laughter that sometimes come when something seems too good to be true, and yet it is. It's just so wonderful to know that this is our Savior. I know who I am. I know this gift cannot come because of anything in me. And yet this justification does come freely from our great God. It's grace as free as grace can be. Ultimately, Jesus Christ has purchased us. He's purchased for us Ultimately, Jesus Christ has purchased us as an evidence of both the exact justice and the rich grace of God. because God wished to be glorified in the justification of sinners like you and me. He wanted to show us that He is just, and yet He's the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus, as Paul explains. And He did this in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Well, let us pray. Our Father and our God, how good it is to know that Jesus Christ purchased our salvation for us. There is nothing that we could have ever done, nothing that we can bring. And yet, Father, You teach us that all we need to do is to come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, believing in Him and what He has done. And so we pray this morning, as we come to You in the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, that You would accept our worship both now, throughout our lives, and through all of eternity. And we pray that You would do this as we ask this blessing in all things, in Jesus' matchless name, amen.